This morning's message, I've entitled it, More Than Signposts for a Ship. And the basis of the message today in this season of the church, this season of Trinity, is both from the hymn, The Church's One Foundation, but also in the collect for today of this Trinity 15, where we prayed, O Lord, we implore you, let your continual pity cleanse and defend your church. And because she cannot continue in safety without your aid, preserve her evermore by your help and goodness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Well, they called it the boat. That is the first car that I ever had. I don't even think I talked to Isaac about the first car that I ever had. But it was a 1981 Buick Skylark. And Pastor Marvin Bublitz and his wife, they gave it to me because I was setting forth onto Vicarage. And I didn't have a car. And my sisters, Diane and Julie, they like to call it the boat. But of course it doesn't seem so big now because I can often be seen driving a seven-seater Ford Explorer, probably the biggest car I've ever driven. But coming from a family who drove a lot of Volkswagen Beetles and Dodge Omnis, in that fuel-deprived decade, it was luxurious. The boat held all of my possessions. A suitcase on the passenger side as I drove out to Winnipeg, Manitoba, and it had a wonderful suspension system. It did float like a boat. In the days before GPS was standard on every car, installed on every tablet, in everybody's laptop computer, I relied heavily on road signs to give direction and warning, and even some limited prophecy concerning my future. Now, road signs today, they're not completely obsolete. I still look for them, and I am guided by them, as I am sure you are as well. It's wonderful. As long as I live, I always see something new. And this summer was no exception. Nathaniel and I saw a road sign that was quite unique. It said it was looked like a yield sign. It was yellow in it. It said, "We break for snakes." And it was complete with illustrations of these serpentine creatures. And all I could think of was, but maybe I shouldn't break for these snakes. Isn't it a good idea to crush the head of the serpent? It was prophesied, of course, that Jesus would. And he most certainly did, despite confused medieval artists to the contrary who depicted Mary, his mother, doing the job. But road signs are still important to help navigate to our earthly destinations. But how do things best go when we try navigating to heavenly ones, heavenly destinations? That's what ought to be forefront in our minds always as Christians. How are we navigating to our eternal destinations? Now, we're all traveling by boat, a ship, really, a special one, certainly not my old Buick. Oh, I love that car. Not by a Buick, but by another known as the church. Church is depicted as a ship. Mere temporary earthly destinations are not the concern of the church. The ship is salvation. Her charter is salvation, is what we sang in the hymn. What an awesome vision When we think of that phrase, her charter is salvation, it should conjure up in our minds wondrous things from that one word alone, salvation. Salvation. Saved from sin. Saved from death. Saved from decrepitudes of all kinds. Saved from all that is old and all that decays in this world. Dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Good Lord, deliver us. Jesus himself, he pointed to the Pharisees who looked quite like whitewashed tombs, and he said, they're not, they're full of dead man's bones and all uncleanliness. Good Lord, deliver us. I think of what were once, at one time, the most exciting experiences of my life. I truly enjoyed amusement parks, and I still do. I love them, but now I think of the overgrown mess which was once River Country in Walt Disney World. That which was once exciting could not remain so, not for me and not for anyone else, into perpetuity. But you know, heaven can remain exciting into perpetuity, into all eternity. Heaven can, because Jesus is there. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, is central there. He never becomes dull or boring. This true home of ours is ever new. Heaven is our eternal home that never gets boring, and likewise ought to be the church. And so we sang, she is a new creation. Oh, how limited this English language is that we have. I would that we would speak Greek or Latin or something like that. But it is a newness that is not still. It is a newness like a roaring waterfall that replenishes and rejuvenates herself. That's the kind of new creation that the church is, never growing old. She is a new creation. Not just new for a time, like some amusement park, but she is new evermore. Our ship of the church is sailing us on such a path of salvation. Even as we, mystically speaking, have connection or communion with such home as we sang, yet she on earth has union with God, the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is one. How could the church ever become dull and boring? How could our salvation ever become, you know, a has-been or something that once was, but maybe not so much now, because we are not small. We have this wondrous communion, the great cloud of witnesses. We are the church militant here on earth, but we are joined in a mystic sweet communion of the church triumphant. And at the center of all, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Lamb whose reign shall not end. Ah, salvation. Thanks be to God. I'm encouraged as I think of it, even when I'm encouraging all of you, that we're sailing on our way now. We have a foretaste of heaven now, but still look forward to seeing God face to face. We shall see God. We only have a foretaste of seeing him now, but then we shall see him face to face. But how is it that we are to be directed in this ship of salvation called the church? You might think it is easier now that the destination, the prize of salvation, glows so brilliantly. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has in store for those who love him, is what the Bible says. How shall we get there? Is your pastor at the helm? Is he there looking for signs? Maybe some special harbor beacons? Maybe there's a prophetess affixed to the prow of the ship, giving protection to all on board. You know, some think of their Christian journey in this way. Some look on the word inspired by Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." They understand the word of God is simply providing the signposts along the way, like a man holding a lantern, swinging it. Now there is some truth to such a description. We find that Scripture indeed is a guide. And Scripture does guide the ship of salvation, the church. Our catechism speaks of the law as a curb, a mirror, and a rule that gives direction. But the ship of the church is not just wood and steel that is bound together by rivets. She is more than constitutions, encyclicals, canon law that you might stack up in volumes and blow the dust off of. She is alive. This church that we sail into our salvation is alive. She has personality. She is holy. And according to proper English grammar, a ship would just simply be it. Like my Buick car would just simply be it, as big a boat as it was. But we abide by a Christian grammar where the ship of salvation is she. She is rightly called Holy, Holy Mother Church. For St. Paul refers to the bride of Christ as the church, thereby making her our mother, truly. And we receive nurture together by the one holy food. Remember that phrase from the hymn. She gives us the one holy food. And what is that? The very body and blood of Christ. It's a centrality to our worship here in the church to receive that one holy food. Just as we sang in the hymn, she provides nurture in sacramental life, encouragement through our brothers and sisters in Christ, through our pastor, maybe he's at the helm, our connection with those who have gone before, which is the church triumphant, the saints in glory. Our Christian faith isn't all about learning cold commandments, rules which guide us to heaven. We travel in a ship. In a safe hold, if you were. More like a mother's embrace, this ship is. Embraces us on our journey to heaven. September is a wonderful month, providing incredible inspiration through the commemoration of saints of every time and every place, and each there is part of the one church. Whether they have gone before us or whether we're still here, of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're on this ship of salvation. The Holy Church may provide nurture and encouragement, though, only as she is sustained and enlivened by Christ. This is what the title means. The churches, and you always got to remember the apostrophe there, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. Jesus gives her life. So how rightly in our prayers do we direct them today? We fervently pray, O Lord, we implore you. We beg you is what we're saying. Let your continual pity cleanse and defend your church. And because she cannot continue in safety without your aid, preserve her evermore by your help and by your goodness. Oh, how he provides, and he provides abundantly. He gives food for the journey. He gives us the Eucharist. He gives us the Lord's Supper. He gives us his true body and blood so that we have the strength that carry on what blessings he gives to the church. He also gives, there's a washing of the water and the word, which is holy baptism. Perhaps a once-in-a-lifetime event, but also ongoing, day by day, as we live out our baptism. It's a means of grace, a gift that never stops giving. In it, we have forgiveness of sins, and we're reminded every time we make the sign of the cross what help there is in the shedding of blood. According to the hymn, it says, "Lift his blood, he bought her." And that's based straight on Scripture, friends. "Lift his blood, he bought her." Who's her? The ship of salvation, the church. The once for all sacrifice flows in perpetuity from our altar, giving strength to the church, giving strength to her membership through that gracious food, through that gracious blood of Christ. Heaven is a worthy goal, even more so than a lot of other things the church and her crew get caught up in, things like pancake brunch or coffee hour or food banks or council meetings or constitutions and building upkeep and making music and all of those things, and even study. Now, all of these things are wondrous things, and they're fine, provided that they are means to the goal, that we never lose sight of the goal. What is it? That her charter is salvation, is the goal of the church, and finding our path to our eternal home. Making music, not for entertainment, but as a means through beautiful art of lyric and notes to meet Jesus, is the center of our life. To study Scripture, not just to conquer things like grammar and have wondrous knowledge to impress our friends and our teachers and our unchurched loved ones, but that we might meet Jesus. If we're studying Scripture and we're not meeting Jesus, there's something wrong. Tell me. We live and are meeting a living Christ. We meet him and we praise him. We are on board this ship of salvation today. Our charter is salvation. Never forget it. That the ship is alive. Respond to her embrace. Live in an embrace of the whole world that she might join us. There's room on this ship of salvation. When her body seems wooden and lifeless, let her be enlivened by the wood of Christ's cross, the source of all nutrient, binding us of his living blood, stronger than anything that binds a ship, with rivets or bitumen or anything else. Pray. Pray to Christ, the church's one and only foundation, who makes her what she is meant to be. She is our Lord's bride. She is our mother. May we know the nurture within her as we journey to salvation. In his name we pray. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ bring home true what it is to be church and to experience nurture within her, as she is nurtured by the body and blood of Jesus. Amen.